Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask for you to turn to the book of Hebrews, Then we'll roll back to Ephesians and end up in Romans. The book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. As we talk, as we prepare ourselves for this better life, says this: therefore, since we, love these words, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangled us. Let us, there's that word again, run with perseverance. It's a great expression. The race marked out for us. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scowling at shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured. Consider him who endured such opposition with sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Not grow weary and lose heart. I love how the writer includes other people. He's just not writing from some island isolated from everyone. He's writing in an expression that there's a desire that God has for us. He's included himself with others on the journey. He's decided not to take a lonely stroll. But he says, in this journey of God, since we are surrounded, let us throw off, let us run, let us run the race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. It's the us factor, the let us factor. Romans chapter 12 is pretty cool because Hebrews chapter 12, because it's right after Hebrews chapter 11, which talks a lot about the us. All the us that went before us, who endured and who lived for God and who depended on God and who had faith in God. And even though their circumstances were not perfect, which nobody's is, they continued to seek God. And so it tees up Hebrews chapter 12 and says, look what's going on. Look how they've been committed. So therefore, we also can endure. We also can hope. We also can move forward in our life. Hebrews chapter 13, right after that, talks about one of the ways you do that is you walk in love. You express love. You discover the love of God, and then you share the love of God, and you live out the love of God. And if you look at those who went before you and paid the price, and if you decide to join that with your endurance and coming together in spiritual family, then you're going to be able to live out love, and then God is going to be exalted. Can I have a good amen? That's kind of the plan. That's what God is saying. And one of those ways that we're able to endure, one of those ways we're able to move forward in life, is by allowing ourselves to be connected. See, church, you were created for community. The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits. See, our relationship to Christ is very personal, but guess what? God never intended it for it to be private. We're not like private investigator, undercover Christians where it's like a secret. I'm a secret Christian. Nobody knows. Wow, that's helping a lot of people. But it's a secret thing. Sometimes we get that kind of John Walton. Some of us that are over like 40, like myself, we remember the Waltons. And they were a very spiritual family. And Liv was very spiritual. And she brought her kids to church. But John would just be like, yeah, I'm going to go up on the mountain and like cut a tree. I cut a tree, I feel the Lord. That's not true, John. You didn't feel God up there. That's not the deal. That's not how it works. God didn't create you to be isolated from everybody else in faith. Get your behind with Liv and get to church. Take your kids to church. Okay? It's not good just the mama's taking them to church. Take John, boy, he needs it, to church. Come on, somebody. Ellen needs church. They all need church. They need the family of God. And as you think, we've been created for spiritual family. The Bible says so many things about being together. It says that we're put together. It says that we are built together. It says that we're joined together. It says we're built together. We're members together. We are fitted together. We hold together. I could go on and on. All these different things put together, joined together, built together, members together, fitted together. We are held together. We hold together. I love what Romans chapter 12 says as it relates to being together and being a people that decide to come out of isolation and not dance alone, but to come into community and to share faith with others, which is so important. And Romans says this about that whole idea, and I just love this. It says, "For by grace that he's given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." That's massive. Pride keeps you from being connected to everybody. Do you know how hard it is to experience community with someone who is conceited? Turn to the person next to you and say, "Quit being conceited, please. You're killing me." Look at the other person and ask them, "Am I conceited?" Be a little self-awareness. When you think more highly of yourself than you ought, you cannot have relationships. When you think more highly of yourself than you should, you isolate yourself because nobody as good as you. And can I tell you what happens when you isolate yourself? You camp your whole life, and I do the same thing. I'm talking to myself. We camp our life in the foyer of destruction. When you isolate yourself, you are headed down the wrong path. It's a slippery slope. When you get isolated from people, especially if you get isolated from the family of God. It goes on to say this, "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." I love these two verses. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ," everybody say in Christ. "So in Christ, we who are many are one body." See, that's why it's easy to be one church in many locations. That's why it's easy to be one church and you're watching online in many. Why? Because we're many members, but there's one body. And each member belongs, there's that word, belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. You are not on your own. You belong to family. You belong to spiritual family. You belong in the family of God. Did you know that if you take one of your organs and it gets severed from your body, it will shrivel and die? It cannot exist very long on its own. And guess what? Neither can you and I. Back in the day, there used to be this old scary movie. It's kind of like a B movie where the scientist who gets like radioactivity, you know, it's the same story. They're doing a lab test and accidentally the machine goes, "There's a power outage." And all of a sudden the machine jumps over there and the radiation came on him. And he dies and his hand gets cut off, but his hand keeps living. And there begins the legend of the hand. Oh! Anybody remember that movie, The Hand? I knew some people saw that. And it's this standalone empowered hand that's getting like fused with radioactivity and it crawls. Crawls down the street. People see it in the car. They're running into, you know, grocery stores and it's terrorizing the whole city. It's a hand. I watched the movie. And then there's like the scientist's girlfriend. She knows the real story. She's got the solution to save the world from the hand. And so the hand somehow or another discovered where she's at. How'd that happen? Does the hand have a brain? I mean, what's going on? And it knocks on the door. It's crazy. She opens the door and there it is. And they're terrorized. I'm thinking, somebody stomp on it. There's your hand. If you cut your hand off where you left church, laid it on stage, we came back tonight, it wouldn't be playing the keyboard. Here's the point. Too often, because of stuff, we disconnect and we cut ourselves off from the lifeblood of the local church, the local body of believers, the family of God, the people of God. Guess what? Your spiritual life will wither and will cease to exist. That's what happens. I thought about this, and I really believe this with all my heart. I believe it's why the number one symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance at worship services. When you get careless with the family of God, everything else spiritually will just begin to slip. It just happens. I've seen it for over 20 years. People get away from the family of God. They get away from fellowship. They get away from the word of God being taught. They get away from reading their Bible. They get away from being prayed for and being connected with others. Next thing you know, spiritually, their life is drying up and they wonder, where's God? I don't feel God anymore. I see that too often. You know, there's three decisions that I've made, and God's grace has been on all of them, that were good decisions. The first one was when I said yes to Jesus Christ, June the 21st, 1982. That was the best decision I've ever made, is when I became born again. When I said, yes, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior. Best decision I ever made. Everything else is pretty small compared to that one. Second best decision was when Delenn asked me to marry her, and I said yes. That was a good decision when I finally gave in and said, okay, I guess I will. Now, none of you know that's not true. I mean, I begged and pleaded, and she played hard to get, and it was one of those things. But I hung in there. Now we got babies, so we're good. Second best decision was when is who you marry. Who you marry. It affects so many things in your life. That's why if you're not married and you love Jesus, don't marry somebody who does not love Jesus. Why would you, I want you to think about this. Why would you get so desperate to marry somebody who doesn't love the things you love? You are better single with Jesus than married with the devil. Who you marry affects everything. That's why we have a marriage conference. So we do marriage groups. Hey, let's do everything we can to get our marriage submitted to Jesus. Because our marriage is so important that our marriage would reflect Christ to our children. Here's the third best decision I ever made. Was when I got connected to the house of God. I came to Christ and guess what? I got involved with church. This is a small church. There was a lot of things about it I did not like and did not understand. It wasn't the most friendly place on the planet. There were not a lot of young people. I was 18 years old, surfing, just living at the beach. There were just not a lot of other surfers. I mean, they were older, and they were prayer partners, and they didn't have, like, surf ministry. And so I didn't quit because they didn't have surf ministry. But I knew I needed the family of God. I knew I needed the family of God. God created us to care for one another. To care for one another. The opposite is uncaring. Reminds me of a story of a couple guys that I read about. These two shipwrecked men sat together at one end of a lifeboat. They were doing nothing. But they watched across the other end of the lifeboat as the other people in the lifeboat with them, but were at the other end of it. They were just bailing out water because of the holes that were in the boat. They were bailing out water furiously. One of the men said to the other men, thank God that hole isn't in our end of the boat. Did you get that? That was really a funny story. See, you may think, well, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. Can I tell you, the world around us is sinking. You need spiritual family. You need the body of Christ. You need people that are like-hearted. You need to yoke yourself up, as the Bible says, with believers so that we can make a difference in the world today all around us. He has called you to believe, and he has also called you and I to belong. I want to show you, I just thank God that over a year ago, God gave us a new house to have church in here at Highland. It's just been a great opportunity to reach people and to serve the community. And one of my favorite things about our new house here at Healing Place is the cross that's up out front. It's the, we, that was intentional. We said we want to put a cross right at the focal point, right when you come up the road. I want people to see the cross and know that this facility is all about lifting up the name of Jesus. It's all about lifting Christ higher and higher. Matter of fact, that's one of the highest points on Highland Road is that cross. It's over 80 feet tall from the sidewalk to the tip of that cross is over 80 feet tall. And so we wanted it at the focal point of our campus. We wanted the building to kind of circle. It's a circle around that cross. Wow. Everything revolves around what Jesus did. Everything revolves around this. So there's a lot of symbolism here as it relates to that. And we all that design, the bricks and the stucco, all that thing. But there's a couple pictures that someone sent me that I think is so amazing. And it's looking up through all the bricks. And I just love that. I think that's so cool. I think that's a great shot of the bricks. I think there's another one that goes all the way from the ground. Look at that right there. That is one big, long brick wall. Let me tell you something about that wall right there. It took 12,241 bricks to build that wall. To get that cross 80 feet in the air, 12,241 bricks. I started thinking about bricks. Do you know what? You cannot do a lot. This is one of the bricks, the same type of brick that the wall is made out of. This one that's left over. You know, you cannot do a lot with a lone brick. There's just not a lot you can do with it. It's journey, it's destiny, it's just limited. I mean, it can be used to be under like a, you can use it for your boat. When you let your boat down, you can stick a brick under there. So it can be a life of just kind of taking care of the boat. Or it could be a brick. If you got bad brakes, you use it for your car don't roll down the road and hit somebody. So it helps you if you got bad brakes. You don't have electric, emergency brakes, stuff like that. So it just doesn't, can I tell you something? You know, you can't build a lot with the brick. I've got a brick. I'm gonna build some stuff with this. Built something. Let me see if this looks better. Well, that's about what you can't do much with a lone brick. If it's out in your front yard, guess what? It tears up your lawnmower. It becomes a nuisance, to be honest. If you throw it in your backyards. If you throw it in your backyard and you know your kids out there playing, they hit it with their toes, scrape all their toe up, bust up their feet and all that kind of stuff. What are you gonna do? You're gonna take that brick, you're gonna throw it over the fence to your neighbor. You know what I'm talking about? You're gonna be a giver. You just can't do a lot with a lone brick. I thought about that as it relates to this idea. You know, when I showed those pictures, when this brick sees that picture of those bricks, I wonder what goes through the brick's mind. Like, yeah, I could have been one of those. I mean, why didn't it use me? I mean, fine. Good. I don't need you. I do my own thing. I'll be my own brick. I'll build my own brick house. I'll be a brick house. I'll just be by myself. I don't need y'all. I wonder what it says. I'm just going to go off and block that car. I'm going to go find that boat. Do you know what I see today a lot? There are too many lone bricks. Just doing their own thing. One brick could never have gotten that cross 80 feet in the air. It took 12,241. Each brick was so important as it connected together, as it joined together, and then as it allowed the mortar to come in and around it. I think the mortar is like the Word of God. It's like Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We take our gift and we take our talent and we submit it to the Lord, and He surrounds us, and in Him we live, in Him we breathe, in Him we become something. And together, guess what? We can build a wall. One brick can't build something, but guess what? A lot of bricks can build a hospital. A lot of bricks can build an orphanage. A lot of bricks can build a church. It can build a dream center. It can rebuild marriages. It can restore health. It can set somebody free from addiction. When all the bricks come together and allow the mortar of the Holy Spirit to shape us, to be what God is building on the earth today, which is a people that will care more about the cause of Christ than their own cause. He's building a family. He's building a family. And I think it's so amazing that God Almighty, when he chose to refer to himself, he chose to refer to himself as a father. I mean, he chose to refer to us as sons and daughters. My son even spoke to us, the Son of God, as the Son of God. He brought salvation in the context of a family. He refers to himself in the context of a family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's that important to him. Family. God has called you to believe, and God has called you and I to belong, because he's the master builder. One lone brick never survives. He knew we need relationships. We need one another. You and I need each other. I want to finish up, and I just want to give you two opportunities to respond and to allow God to use you. The first one is this, is I want to encourage you, maybe if you've just started coming to our church or you've been visiting, I want to encourage you to become a member of Healing Place. What is that all about, Pastor? It's an opportunity so that you can know the benefits, and we want to be in covenant. We want to walk together. And we just love unpacking and talking and answering about questions and talking about the DNA. And so I want to encourage you that if you've been a part of Healing, we started this about a year ago. Our church was growing, and sometimes it was hard to know everybody that was here, and we wanted to do a better job of serving the people that call this their church home. And so we started membership at our church. We had not done that as a church. We had done some different versions of that, but really had never put a lot of energy to it. Now we put a lot of energy to it. Why? Because we want to help people who come to the church who say, you know, God is doing something. I want to do something for God. What is my next step? Membership helps you know about the next step. So membership classes, one of them is August the 28th. And we're going to do it two times that day, 11:15, and then also in the afternoon. I believe the afternoon one is at 5 o'clock. So you come to 9 o'clock service to go to the 11:15 membership class. And also, here's the coolest thing, too, also about the membership class, is we get to eat together. So it's really like a membership dinner, if you know what I'm talking about. It's like a membership brunch. And so we do that on August the 28th, and then we turn right back around on September the 11th. So one of the ways you can respond and say, you know what, I need to be in a spiritual family. I don't want to be a lone brick. Is you can decide to say, you know what, I think I want to be a part of the family of God here. I want this to be my local church. I want to go to God. And then here's the second opportunity. So we've talked about that. We'll give you a moment. We'll give you some more instructions about that. Here's the second opportunity is to commit to be a host for our upcoming series, I Want a Better Life. You got one of these when you came in. If you didn't get one of these, make sure you get one of these on the way out. This kind of just gives you the spiritual landscape of where we're headed throughout the fall. And we believe that God has given us a series. We're putting a lot of prayer, a lot of energy. How we're going to couple that with small groups. And we don't have enough small groups. So we need like 150 more small groups. So I'm asking all over the church if you'll be interested and if you'd be willing to open up your home to have a small group, to become a host for a connect group. And we believe what's going to happen in that connect group is it's going to help your friends and my friends and people that you work with and people in the community. You invite them over, and it's going to help them to discover the life that God Almighty intended for them. I couldn't think of anything greater to do with my life than to help others discover God's plan for their life. And so when you think about being a host, here's all you say, well, dear, that kind of scares me. I'm pushing back. Beep. I heard beep, beep, beep all over the room. Here's what a host means. Have a heart for people. All you need to do is have a heart for people. A church, family, workplace. Open up your home for 3 weeks for a cadet group. It's a 3-week commitment. And then serve some refreshments, because you really can't have a moment like that without snacks. Snacks are huge. And then T is tell your friends about it. And then all you have to do is turn on the DVD. We've made the, I went to the studio and I made these DVDs. And so you've got them. You don't even have to teach. You just cut on the DVD. And then you discuss. So we need all across this room, if you say, you know what, I want to help people. I want to make a difference. And, you know what, I don't know everything and I'm not perfect, but you know what, I think God could use me. I've been wanting God to use me. Matter of fact, I've prayed the last month, God use me. This could be an answer to your prayer. God could use you in your home, in your workplace. So you take this with you, and when you leave today, you can go out to the connect areas. There's a whole connect for you. Throughout all of our whole concourse, you can drop off this. So fill this out. And then also you can go by there and find out opportunities for membership. And then in the little area that you can tear off, they've got all the ideas about membership and about the different types of groups that you can be a part of. So we're doing everything we can because I believe that God is going to help us with this Better Life Challenge. I really believe with all my heart. So make sure you take that. Let's all pray together. Let's everybody be real still before we pray. One of the most important parts of our service is this little 5-minute window. It's so important. So we just really honor God during this time so somebody next to us or in front of us or behind us can maybe experience an invitation to Jesus. Here's what I want to ask today. I felt this in my heart early this morning as I was praying for our time together. We've talked about community. We've talked about family. We've talked about how much God has called us not only to believe, but to belong. But you know, there's an enemy of that, and it's called loneliness. I have people ask me all the time, why am I lonely? Sometimes they don't say it, but their actions say it. Sometimes people don't come out and just say, I'm lonely, but the way they handle themselves and the things that we choose to do, even areas of compromise. It's really not compromise, it's just saying, I'm lonely and I need my cup filled. And there's an ache in my soul. Sometimes you can be lonely in the middle of a room of people. I've talked to people that are lonely and they're in family. But I want to pray today and I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Because really at the end of the day, when you think about loneliness, Jesus addressed it. I think Jesus knew that we would fight it, we would struggle with it, and we would say, why am I lonely? And what it drives me to do and think. So you know what the last things Jesus says? As lo, I am with you always. You know what that means? Never alone. He is the cure of loneliness. Never alone. Never alone in Jesus' name. I've talked to 16-year-olds in school, lonely. I've talked to grown men who on the outside look very successful, lonely. There's been some times of my life where I went through seasons where even though people were all around me, I felt lonely. Remember today, you are never, never alone in Jesus' name. It's a lie of the enemy, you're alone. You're not alone. He cares about you. He loves you. He's not going to leave you alone. You're not left to solve life all by yourself. He's there for you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.